With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Group texts are so funny, man. Just the nature, the dynamics. You know, and the thing about a group text is you're always trying to figure out how much can I say on this group text?
Oh, yeah.
What's the comfort level?
Or how little can I say?
Yeah, there's some group texts I'm like, I'm just not responding yeah. on this text thread. There's some group texts I'm like, I can speak as freely as I'd like.
Yeah.
It's group text etiquette. For example, just texting etiquette in general. Some people I don't enjoy texting just quite simply because they're going to heart everything I just said. I don't need you to heart it. Just say something.
Multiple hearts in one.
Yeah, so you're hitting me with a double whammy. That's like a close talker in person.
Ooh.
Hmm.
So I'm texting. I just would appreciate you just replying with words or emojis, but I have to get hearted with everything that I said or ha ha ha's, and then I get the ha ha ha's in written format.
It's true. We do.
It's just too much.
We need to find it. There needs to be a code.
There's got to be more etiquette for this. Yesterday, a friend of ours had their baby, big group text. I appreciated everyone's contribution, wows, exclamation points. Someone left a voice memo. I didn't listen to it.
That group chat.
Yeah, that was for them.
That's bold.
It's bold, but. Jeez. But again, I didn't listen to it. I don't want to eavesdrop in on their conversation. Yeah. I don't even know if it broke etiquette. I just appreciated that no one was giving hearts and exclamations to the things that were being said. Because you can say your own part.
Yeah. Right.
The thing about texting, I'm not even mad at people that don't text back right away anymore.
Hmm.
I'm at the place right now where as long as when we are texting, it's fluid.
Right. Mm. It's, conversation.
It's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're contributing. I'm contributing. I'm having fun. You're having fun. That's all that really matters to me. You know, I used to kind of be like, well, how come they haven't gotten back? To me, I'll read a text and go, maybe in a little bit I'll get back to that one.
Yeah.
Totally. Not right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
I gotta be, the older I get, the more I'm like, I gotta feel stuff.
Yeah. As long as you do get back to it, because for me, I'll be like, oh, I'll get back to that later today. And then 6 months later, I'm like, oh my gosh.
But like, but here's my thing is like, I gotta be in a texting mood.
Yes.
So in the morning time, I like to go back through all the texts I got the day before that and just kind of look at the last few days.
Smart.
And go, who do I need to reply to? Because now I'm firing. I'm ready to go. And by the way, if I'm on my phone, I'm not always in the mood to text.
Right.
No.
If I'm on a laptop, I can text anybody from a laptop.
I love texting on a laptop. There's so much like copy and paste capability.
Such a superior texting experience.
And that's an emoji button. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that until you just pointed at this laptop right now. That's an emoji button?
Yes,
I had no idea. What's so crazy is the genesis. When emojis first came out, I thought they were for the female persuasion.
Oh. Or for children.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not using emojis ever. I made fun of people that use emojis.
Yes.
Now it's rare for me to finish off a great conversation without just some phenomenal usage of emojis. This is just it's the conclusion. It's like a seal.
Yeah. So if we were going to seal off right now, what emojis are we using?
Well, right now, I'm going to use a running guy because we're about to take off.
Love
I'm using rocket ship. Again, yes. It's a let's go. I'm a big fire emoji guy.
Yes.
The fire emoji, to me, who can get offended when someone's throwing fireballs at you?
You can.
Ryu can. You know, it's like, I'm throwing those.
Wow, great reference.
Okay. Then Somewhat a controversial emoji is coming on the pod today. How about the praying hands, which actually are not praying hands?
They're high fives.
They're high fives.
Stop it.
But do they not look spiritual?
We use them in every Zoe post.
Well, because they look like prayer hands.
Yeah.
I just discovered this recently, and you think I'm changing my behavior? Absolutely not.
No.
You interpret it the way you interpret it. You think it's a high five? I'm praying for your dark, twisted soul.
Yeah, no.
Okay? So, again, running, rockets, fires, prayer, and then here's the last one. Are you ready? Sunglasses. Let's go. Welcome, all you texting experts. Welcome, leaners. Welcome, leadership gurus. Leadership expert. Someone the other day was like, I heard you have a podcast, like you're like a leadership expert. And I was like, oh, this podcast is about learning. Yeah. This is not, there are no experts involved, not even my co-hosts.
No, definitely.
Our experts. Welcome to Leadership Lean In. We are leaning into the subject of leadership just to get a little bit better. As promised, a touch of progress can never promise perfection. Thank you to everybody that just saw today a bunch of people posting, sharing the pod, as we call it around these parts. Whoa. Thank you so much. We are going to jump right in. We're back in the stew.
In the stew.
It was a rough one last week.
We missed it. Yeah, we missed this.
It was a rough one, man.
Yeah.
You know, just streaming from Montana is not virtual. The same.
Virtual, and it just is a... It's a throwback that I don't want to throw back to.
Yeah. I get it.
It's only dial up there, right?
Yeah.
Stop.
Dude, Montana is the most beautiful place I've ever been. Shout out to Montana, the Duttons,
yeah, it really is.
The Fresh Lifers. I just love, I could move to Montana with Kevin Costner, John Mayer, Phil Jackson, and the rest of them. I could move to Montana.
That many people live in Montana.
Oh, gosh. The list could go.
Just
are you
in
kidding
general.
Me? No. These are called vacation homes. Okay. Let's get in order here. Today, we're talking about team dynamics and talking about just trying to develop great teams. I want to talk today around this idea of becoming a good teammate. Mm. And I want to convince you that you are a part of more teams than you realize. Like, I think it's a good thing. This is just, it's always good. To me, a great leader always takes great assessment. Mm. Properly assesses themselves, their situation, their money, their organization. I think this is a very important part of life is to have a healthy self-view. Part of the self-view is understanding for me, how many teams am I on? Mm-hmm. Because the goal is on every team I'm on to play my role.
Great.
Right.
So I got to identify how many teams am I on? Because what I'm required to do or who I am required to be on one team does not translate to the next.
Right.
So on some teams, you need to take charge. On other teams, you need to take the back seat. On some teams, they're asking for your opinion. On other teams, they're asking for you just to kind of do your job quietly. You've got to find out your role so that you can confidently walk in, you know, kind of the sphere of influence you've been given. I think, you know, my sphere of influence on my family versus my sphere of influence in my friend group is just different.
Right.
And my friend group is different than my office. Mm. And my office is different than my marriage. So I'm on a lot of teams.
Right.
I think it's very good for you to identify these are all the teams that I'm on. And to the best of my ability on this team, I play this role. On this team, I play this. The goal is to become a good teammate. I think it's like if you're a good friend, you'll always have friends.
Yeah.
If you're a good teammate, you'll always be wanted on the team.
So good.
Like this is just, it just translates. Like, so it's not like if you're the best leader, you'll always be on the team. No, if you're the best teammate, you've got to find ways to just, where do you fit in? What is required of you? Who do you need to be? This to me is like when I walk in a room, most rooms I walk in, I'm like, okay, what is being expected of me? Mm. Do you want me to be loud and funny? Like, I just know there's some places that I go, they're like, we want you to turn it on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Entertain. Mm-hmm. Like we want you that we'd kind of like we paid you to come here and like take over.
Yep.
Other places I go, I'm like, oh, this is, I'm very small in the totem pole here, and this, and I love it. What's my role?
Yeah.
The one dimensional leader, or the insecure leader, the one that really doesn't have the ability to be multifaceted. Doesn't even stop to have the curiosity. Should I adapt?
Right.
Should I adjust?
Yep.
Should I? What's to me? It's the spirit of leadership, which is the spirit of serving. The spirit of leadership servant leadership is the best leadership, in my opinion. The spirit of leadership is adding value.
Yep.
Giving, helping, serving. If you don't do this, you're a taker. So I leverage, I look for me, I filter everything through how does it benefit me, how do I look, how do I come across, wow. And there's a lot of image management. That's not leadership. Mm-hmm. Leadership's going like, how do I serve the best? How do I help? How do I give? Going low, so to speak. So I want to give you just a few things to consider. Write down number one today if you are taking notes. Like, we got a lot of people on the pod take notes, and I love this.
Yeah.
You got to, and I know this because they screenshot them.
That's what I was going to say. Send us your notes. We want to see all of them.
Yeah, it's so great. It's so, groups are watching Leadership Lean In together. We're filming this one?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, this is all the way out in the World Wide Web to our hundreds of subscribers.
Stop. No.
Yeah. I'm kidding. Okay, number one, know your role. That got me. Know your role. And we were identifying that just a minute ago, but it's like, I have to know my role. I got to figure out who am I supposed to be in different settings.
Right.
I think I told you guys this joke the other day, this story recently when I was in Colorado, and, you know, it's like Pastor Craig Rochelle and Chris Hodges, all these guys, and they asked me to kind of do the funny awards, you know, like the Jimmy Kimmel type stuff,
yeah.
Or the Chris, I almost made a Chris Rock joke, like when I was doing the awards, like, don't nobody come up here and slap me. I'm not talking about your wife tonight.
Jeez.
I didn't know if it would land.
Did it land?
But
the,
my
the but, slap or the joke?
But right, but some, you know, some it was funny, you know, when the host asked me to do this, I'm on his team.
Yep.
What do you want me to be funny? You want me to, okay? You want me to be serious? Do you want me to pray? Do you want me to, you know, like just host?
Right.
I think it's so important for us to constantly consider, how do we help?
I love that. I love that idea. You know, the role I have here at work or in the office, sometimes I'll drive home and I'll sit in my driveway for 5 minutes and just go, I got to change roles.
Yeah.
If I walk in right now, I'm still going to be in office mode, you know, and just having that intentionality to switch. I've seen you literally switch roles so fast, and just being intentional with that is so important.
And I think that the more we understand humanity, and if we really are here to improve and serve and better people, the more that we look to give rather than take. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the issue here with teammates. A selfish teammate is a ball hog.
Right.
I'm trying to get mine. I'm trying to score.
Yep.
I'm stuffing my stat sheet. I'm worried about the scout in the stands that's here to see me play. So it's a big me monster.
Yeah.
Leadership is so counterintuitive. It is so, leadership will beat the selfishness right out of you. Just like marriage will.
Yep.
Just like being on a team. Because on a team, you get back to the huddle, everybody's like, dude, we called the play. Why are you doing your own thing? I got to know my role, because if my role is to shoot the ball, just as long as the whole team knows, coach told me to shoot the ball, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Right.
But if my job is to assist or defend or rebound, or you choose your own illustration, the team cannot do good if you don't crush your role.
Right.
Totally. That's
this right. is the problem is like, and if we have people jockeying, vying for the same role, we got a problem.
Mm.
You've got to figure out your own unique space, your own unique sphere, your own, we call it the 5%.
Mm.
95% of my job, anybody could do. But there's 5% unique that I bring to the table that nobody else can do, because that's my unique personality. So I have to figure out what's the 95% that everybody else could do, what's the 5% that only I can do to add value in my role here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And you figure that out, and it's like, man, I'm just a role player. So no one's ever playing hero ball. That's my concern, is people start playing hero ball. Yep. It's like, it's all about them, and the sun rises and falls on them. And the interesting thing about the empowerment movement, the thing about empowering others, is to be totally convinced in them more than you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is very hard for people. Most people are so insecure, they're just trying to get belief in them.
Mm-hmm.
How do I also give trust and respect and value and equity and influence to others?
So good.
You'll never lead without it.
That's right. I think also it's kind of complicated where there's so much emphasis on like, what are you passionate about? We can lean on that 5% too much. And
yes,
it's interesting, like in an organization like, I think like where we are at the church, all of us, we've talked about it before, have worn different hats and will wear different hats. But it's not really about what are you the absolute best at and what is your biggest passion. It's what's the need and how can you fill it right now? And that's
right.
Your role.
That's right.
It's not about what do I love the most? What am I the most passionate about? What do I want to do? It's what's the need here that I've come to fill?
That's right.
And how do I accomplish that the best?
That's right. And I think the more that you know your role, this goes with number two, is like the role and responsibility are kind of, they're one and the same. Some of role is very unspoken to me. Some of role is like, it's not on an org chart. It's not on the chalkboard. It's like, it's so much social IQ. There's dynamics within relationships. Now we're talking about EQ. We're talking about social, dynamics, like a dynamic. Yeah, totally. But then responsibility is like, okay, now we're going to org chart. What am I responsible for?
Yeah.
I keep, obviously for whatever team that you play in your world, I'm a keeper of the values. I'm a keeper of the vision. I'm a keeper of the mission. That goes without saying, but like, okay, I'm responsible for X, Y, and Z. These are my volunteers. This is the money that I oversee. This is the area. I think that a good teammate relishes in responsibility.
Mm.
Like they just go like, man, you, this is what you've given me. I'm going to double it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you've put in my hands. Watch me. I'm gonna take it from 5 to 10. Mm. I'm gonna take it from 2 to 4. Watch, because responsible. It's like in how you do some things is how you do everything.
Right, right.
And so today it's like I opened up my garage, it's putting away this item that was left out, and I opened my garage and I thought, we've been waiting for a sunny Friday to deep clean our garage. We do this usually in the winter break. It was so nasty in winter break. We go, let's wait till, in January we'll do it. Then Julia broke her foot.
Oh, right.
So we've been putting it off. Both her and I value greatly a clean garage, like an organized garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking today when I opened this garage, we probably aren't at the place where she's ready to like do a deep clean on the garage. But I am the steward of this space.
Right.
So even though we can't deep clean it, I still am responsible for the cleanliness.
This is really good.
The organization of this. If you think about your life, this is why it's important that you know all the teams that you're on. I think it's just good for you to identify, what are you responsible for? You're responsible for your savings account.
Mm-hmm.
I'm responsible for the will I leave my children right now.
Yep.
Something happened. Life insurance.
Yep.
I'm responsible for life. I'm responsible for my kids' college tuition.
Yep.
Like, you got a lot that you're responsible. The reason why you can't be messing around and doing God knows what, I just got too much responsibility on my hands.
Right. Yeah. I remember, I don't know if you started this, but I always attributed to you because you're the first person. The more responsibilities you have,
that's right,
the less rights you have.
Yeah.
But also the more responsibility you have, when you fulfill those responsibilities, the more fulfilling and satisfying it is for your soul.
That's right.
You're excited. I want more responsibility because I want to succeed at a higher rate.
That's exactly right. And I think, we're all proving to the team what we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
We're proving to each other. It's so unspoken. It's trust, right? It's so unspoken. But the more I exhibit and I prove, man, they can handle a lot of responsibilities. And I don't think it's weakness to go like, hey, this is too much.
Right.
It's not weakness to go like, I'm not as good as I thought I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember a few years ago, I just had way too much going on in my life. Way too many balls spinning and way too many plates going. I was just like, I'm not good enough to handle these. I remember at the time it was 9 things going on in my life. Jeez. And I was like, maybe I got 4 or 5 that I can crush because I want to crush.
Yeah. Right.
So let me get within a sweet spot of 4 to 5 major things. They're still major, but I want to be able to dominate. So again, I got to know all the teams that I'm on so that I can play the role and be responsible for the things that are on my plate. Some of these are just so sovereign and God-given and out of your control. Others you can't control.
Yeah.
So you got to determine. That's why it's important to write down the list of all the teams that you're on so that you can crush where there's opportunity to crush.
We're going to take a quick moment and have an ad from our sponsor, which is Athletic Greens. You've taken Athletic Greens.
Yeah, AG1.
You take AG1. I take AG1. I love AG1. I love taking it in the morning before I do breakfast, which I am starting to do now that eating breakfast was part of my New Year's resolution.
Yes, we know this. Yeah,
we do. But it's been amazing. And you get all of your nutrients and your vitamins that you need in one little packet of AG1.
Yeah, to be honest, I always get to the end of my day and my wife is like, have you taken your vitamins? And if you guys, this is a packet you can mix into water, and in one sitting, I got all my nutrients, all my vitamins, everything I needed, and it tasted amazing.
It does.
And yeah, you can just like shoot it at the end of the night or when you get up in the morning, and you'll probably have energy in the morning.
Yeah, it makes you feel great. I don't even drink coffee anymore, and I take AG1, and I feel amazing.
I also drink coffee, AG1 is still amazing. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we want to give you a little deal here. And if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/LLI. That's athleticgreens.com/LLI. Check it out.
A year's worth of vitamin D. Look, we've had rain in LA.
I know.
For 9 weeks. We need it.
We need it.
You need it.
You need it.
Head on over. Okay, we're almost back to Leadership Lean In, but before we do so, let me just give you a quick reminder. We have our annual pastors gathering coming up, and maybe you're a pastor or maybe you're just a leader and you want to gain more leadership, more connections. The pastors gathering is for you. It's May 9th. It's right here in
Los Angeles.
In sunny Los
Angeles.
It's
sunny today.
Yes, it will
be
sunny.
By May 9th, it's going to be sunny.
It will be sunny, and it's $40. But if you bring a group, we've never done this before,
mm-hmm.
8 or more is a flat rate of $300.
Which is kind of insane.
Yeah, you could bring 8, you could bring 30.
Bring 20, 30 people.
We actually had some big groups sign up at our flat rate. We'd love to see you. We're going to have some incredible speakers. We have Pastor Chris Hodges. Yep. We have Rich Wilkerson Jr. from Miami. Of course, Pastor Chad, Pastor Julia. We're going to have awesome breakouts. You need to make your way, whether it's by a plane, a boat, a car. However you're going to get here, make your way to Pastor's Gathering. And you can sign up in the link in the description of this podcast, or of course, head over to any of our socials and you can find it there. All right, let's get back to leaning in.
Third one goes right in line is you become reliable. Mm. There's a saying about character, like their character is as like, it's like a clock. It's like a watch. I can't remember that. Someone just told me this. We could count on their character like the, do you know this saying?
No, I don't.
I don't know it, but I like where it's going. It's a very cool analogy.
You can count on someone's character like you can count.
Can you do a quick Google on this?
Yeah.
April's going to Google it real fast. Someone just told, like, basically what they were saying is, like, just as sure as the clock or, like, it goes around. Yeah. That's how trustworthy their character is.
Jeez.
And I just thought, like, man, your goal is to become so reliable that people don't ever wonder, like, are they going to get it done? Mm. Are they going to do it? Are they going to make it happen? Are they going to come prepared? I think part of the compound of consistency, hit some J's clear for me.
Habits of the compound interest of self-improvement.
There you, I mean, it just the voice inflection is just off the charts. The compound of consistency is just like, you're only as good as your daily routine.
Right.
You're only as good as your disciplines. So what makes me reliable is I get up at the same time every day, pretty much. I go to bed at the same time. I think that here's a great thought. If you're a leader, you are probably living the most boring life we've ever seen.
Right. It's not sexy. You're doing the same thing.
Your life is so. I gotta just admit, my life is very boring, guys. You would be bored to death at my life. I get to do some fun stuff. I'm not saying like. We went to our friends. There's novelty moments. That's that's a pretty cool thing. I got to go to Montana last week. It's pretty cool, you know. I got to go to a birthday party for a friend, 50th birthday party the night. There's a lot of great people I respect and look up to a lot. That's great, you know. But like every day,
right?
It's boring. Why? Because I have to be reliable. Mm. I don't have the luxury and the freedom to do whatever I want.
Yep.
Right.
Even if with all the freedoms I have, I don't have any freedom.
What was that one John Gordon quote, that tweet? I think you reposted it a while ago. Great leaders do frequently what good leaders do sometimes.
Infrequently. They do it every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about, okay, I'm a teammate. I'm on this team. Okay, so I got to bring fresh energy. I got to bring excitement. I got to bring enthusiasm. I got to bring passion. Great leaders to me are just self-starters. Mm-hmm. Yep. They know how to just, they don't need a speech. They don't need a thank you. They don't need a sabbatical. They just know how to self-feed and self-lead. That's leadership. Self-feed, self-lead, self-feed, self-lead. I got to lead myself. No one else is responsible for me.
Right.
No one else is coming to do my homework. Nobody else is coming to study for me. Nobody else is doing my research. Nobody else is recording this podcast.
Right.
I have to be reliable. I'm reliable to the leaners. I'm reliable to Zoe. I'm reliable to my children.
So good.
I'm reliable to my spouse. Like, I've got to be reliable to everybody in my life. It's like, dang, every time I'm with them, I'm at peace. Every time I'm with them, they got joy. Mm. Every time I'm with them, they got a fresh thought. That's reliable.
Yep.
You're consistently that person, as opposed to like, dude, once a month, they're really good. Right. You're going to drive your team crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
You're going to drive people around you crazy. I don't know what I'm getting. I don't know if you're going to do good. I don't know what's going to... It's like just the thing about the best leaders I've ever been around, they create such safety around them.
Mm.
Safety. Part of the safety is trust. Part of the safety is aura, moxie, vibe, fragrance. Because they know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's reliable.
Yeah, I think we all know those people. As soon as they walk through the door, you take a, you know, yeah. What was that?
It was like a deep breath in.
It's kind of an unreliable sound.
Exactly that.
Yeah. Can you do a Saban on that one? That was just a little bit.
You all may be taking the week off, but I'm not.
Yeah, because he's reliable. I don't know about that sound.
Can I say something? You said it subtly earlier. You know, you've been wanting to deep clean your garage.
Yeah.
And there's all the reasons why, you know, it shouldn't be done, or it's, you know, it could stay dirty, and there's an excuse for that. And you said something that was so good. It's still my responsibility.
Hmm.
And the most reliable people, every leader will face a moment in their leadership where there's reasons for them to buck their responsibility, and it's the reliable ones that say, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is or what team members fell off.
Yep.
It's still my responsibility. We're going to get it done.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think going back to the text that we were talking about earlier, the reason why I eventually have to get myself in the mood to text, because I got to be a reliable communicator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I don't think anybody out there is going like, he didn't text back in an hour. He didn't text back in, you know, a day. But you gotta be as reliable as possible because of the teams that you are on. People can count on you. The fourth one is that you got to make the right requests.
Ooh, that's good.
This is as a teammate. In other words, I think a poor teammate's always needing special treatment.
Hmm.
Always needing like, we got to bend over backwards. We got to, all the rules got to bend, and the world has to change for you to do well. And I think, you know, a great teammate to me is so low maintenance.
Yeah.
I was just saying this on the phone to a friend the other day. It's like, I aspire to be low maintenance on every level. Mm, like, just great. Like, you know, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want
to,
I don't want to make people, like, I just, you know, I would die if it's like, dude, it's so much to help you.
Yeah.
It's just like impossible.
Yeah.
You know, and we know those teammates.
Yep.
It's just like, it's a lot. It's just, it's, we got to bend the world around to make your world great. I would hope to go low and to be a teammate that's like, what works for you? How do I help?
Yeah.
Is this okay? That's right. It's going from being a leader that's demanding to a teammate.
It's great. That's why I sometimes hate that I'm a vegetarian.
You're being a bad teammate, right?
No, actually, normally everything is pretty fine and it's not a problem and people are so nice, but
but every once in a while you're like, guys, do you also mind if we get some tofu here at this beautiful steakhouse?
It only has happened like once or twice when I like went to a friend's house and they're like, oh, I'm making fettuccine alfredo. I'm like, oh my gosh, great. And then on the way over I'm like, wait, sometimes they put chicken in that. And I'm like, guys, I'm so sorry.
That's so funny. But you know, I think that because leadership is serving, and I can't emphasize that enough. The best leaders are servant leaders. The greatest leader ever lived, this man, his name is Jesus. He just lived to give. He didn't even come to be served. He came to give and serve. And because that is the reality, you can't live with a bunch of special requests.
Right, right.
Hey, you mind if? Hey, I need that. Just constant request, constant. You got to, you know how like in with fights, you got to pick and choose your battles?
Yeah.
I think with being a good teammate, you got to pick and choose your requests.
Hmm.
Like, when is it right to actually make that request? When is it right to like build a bunch of equity? Because then you're going to go to make a withdrawal. It's like, you're already withdrawn.
Yep.
You don't have that equity, bro. You don't have that equity, friend. I'm so sorry, but it's just not there. I'd rather build a bunch of equity. So if I have to make a special request, it's like, you know what? They never ask for this kind of stuff.
Right.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
So I know them. I know the teammate they've been is just like, it's a no-brainer. Be careful with that. Number five, respond instead of react. This is a big one is when it comes to teammates, is being a person that is, you know, here's two great words to throw together in your vocabulary, self-control.
Mm.
Wow. What a concept. Julia just had a surgery this last week. Taking care of, no, she did not get a nose job. She's taking care of a little bit of a health scare. And just getting rid of some stuff, just precautionary. And, you know, it was a much more serious surgery than we thought. So, you know, I take her in Monday and I'm kind of waiting around the hospital. Hopefully she can get out. And it's taking forever. And anyways, long story short, after hours and hours, I finally get to take her home. And one of the things they say is, hey, for the next 24 hours, you may not sign a legal document.
Okay.
You're still high. You're still gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, isn't that interesting? You know, when you're worked up, you don't have the sobriety to make decisions.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really good.
You got to sober up. You got to get, you know, because if you just react to everything, you kind of put people's defenses up constantly. People are just kind of like, you know, there's the eggshell in the feet, but then there's like the two hands up, like, I don't want to get hit by your dodgeball.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like that. We know that you throw it really hard.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to get hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having the ability to respond to things rather than react. And I think the longer that you wait, the better you can respond. So as a leader and on the team that you're on, the issues that you're facing, you know, I call Mondays overreaction Monday. Because I'm not sober yet, so on Mondays like we just had the worst Sunday in the whole world. We're the worst team in the world. We should never win a championship, you know. Or pendulum swing, we're the greatest church that ever lived. Mm. We're the greatest people. And nobody does it better than us. I'm reacting.
Yeah,
you need to have sobriety
as
a leader to calculate yourself well and others, self and others. The way you view yourself. First of all, in my opinion, the way that you view God determines the way you view self, and the way that you view God determines the way you view others. Yes, sir. And if you don't have a healthy view there, it's just going to be really hard for you to constantly respond in the right tone. I always hold on to this ancient proverb, a gentle reply turns away wrath.
Yeah.
So if I can respond right, I can turn away anger. I can make anger even. So you're dealing with a Karen, you're dealing with a carrot top.
Come on.
You're dealing with a, yeah, we're chatting to mom. You're dealing with, you know, someone that's really upset, find the ability to have a gentle reply.
Really good.
And see what happens to the team. It goes to the last one, number six, relieve tension and add chemistry. I'm always thinking the best teammates are not always defined by ability or skill. The best teammates, I think you can even argue, have the ability to bring chemistry.
That's right.
To bring a dynamic of joy and peace and camaraderie and laughter and buy-in. And it's about the team, not about themselves. And I think the more you can get into that, the more, again, we're addressing all the teams that you're on and become, I'm trying to convince you today, become a good teammate. Maybe you're not a good teammate today. You got a lot of drama. You got a lot of issues. You kind of just create chaos everywhere you go. There's a lot of blood behind you. Mm-hmm. That's all right. You can improve.
Yep.
And one of the ways you can improve is relieve tension.
That's right.
You know, with my boys, I'm always trying to find ways. They're in trouble. They're not acting right. How do I get this group back to good?
Yeah.
How do I, so it's, maybe it's music, maybe it's a movie, maybe it's a book, you know, story time, maybe it's highs and lows. I got to get them back. Mm-hmm. I'm on the team. It's not. I'm not saying that as the coach. I'm saying that even as a teammate, I got to get my guys good.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So as on the teams that you're on, are you a peacemaker? Mm. Or are you easily influenced by the actions and the attitudes of others?
Wow.
It's going to be hard for you to lead if you adjust to the temperature of the room.
Yep. Mm.
You have to become the one that sets the temperature of the room.
Yeah.
You know, a weak leader to me is just, it's a chameleon. Mm-hmm. Mm. When I'm with them, I talk like them. When I'm with them, I act like them. And so you're like, you're on the team, you're like on three different teams.
Wow.
We can't rely on you. We can't trust you.
Yep.
Because you are a chameleon. You don't have the backbone. You don't have the character to lead. You're not a leader. You are the definition of a follower. What are we talking about?
Yep.
Tension, you live in the tension. You live in the chaos. You add to the stress. You're not a leader. Get out of here. You're not a leader. A leader relieves tension.
Yeah.
A leader is a peacemaker. That's right. A leader addresses issues. A leader sits down on the team and says, come on, let's work this out.
So good.
A leader says, you know what? I think that we're not giving so-and-so, this ball hog, the benefit of the doubt. Let's sit them down. Let's talk to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Every problem has a solution.
Great.
So let's find the solution. Let's get it back laughing. I'll never forget, one of my friends was really close with the Miami Heat when they're about to win their first championship, and the unity was down the drains on the Miami Heat. They were just not doing good. And so my buddy had the idea, let's take the whole team to the movies.
I love it.
Great.
You know, a lot of these guys maybe aren't talking to each other. There's a lot of egos. There's a lot of, you know, frustration. I'm not getting the shots, but while we're losing, they rent out a theater. They go to the theater. They go to the theater. They watch some movie. They laugh. They have a good time. Get popcorn. Start building relationship again. Long story short, they go on to win the championship that year.
Wow.
And some people will say that trip to the movies really changed their season.
Wow.
That's so wild.
Really help them. What I'm saying is, guys, it's not rocket science.
No.
You could do it with popcorn and peanut M&Ms. Relieve stress and build chemistry. You're a teammate. Be a good one. Let's go.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.